We open the discussion now. You wanted to ask a question?
Yes, I wanted to say that just Dennis is just the tip of the iceberg. You need to do the research and vet the judges and the KPs that are in the court. It's really crucial to do the homework and do the research.
Can you speak up, please, Jan?
Yeah, I'm just saying there's just a lot of disinformation about how to vet the judges. Dennis is the tip of the iceberg.
Thank you. Any more questions?
Yeah, it's more of a comment really, because it's slightly wider than this. I mean, there was a Viva Palestina convoy that was just humanitarian aid that was going to drive to Gaza, and it set off at Preston. And there was an absolute mass attack on the police. Mass coverage by the press. This was, terrorists, and they made something like 9 arrests. And of course, that's the blaze of activity. And then it all goes quiet afterwards. You know, what terrorist is going to turn up to a Viva Palestina convoy? Then there was Bolton, and the policeman in charge said that the anti-fascists, the EDL, were there with their Zionist flags, the Israeli flags. The anti-fascists were said to have used extreme violence. There were two people hurt. Two policemen were hurt. One had a finger injury, and the other one was bitten by a police dog. And that's extreme violence. The question is that what do we do about it? The difference between the people that were organised with proper defences that pleaded innocent, and the naive people that went maybe on the first demonstration and so on, is chalk and cheese. And I think the message for us is we desperately need our side to be organised. And that's why that sheet's going around. We need subcommittees devoted to this cause. We've got a subcommittee on the raising money for women's education in Palestine. But all sorts of subcommittees. We definitely need more active people. We need more people at the on Saturday and so on. So please sign that thing in. Either give it to Pam or give it direct to your bank if you're putting money in. But we definitely, our side needs better organising. They are organising more viciously. We need to match it.
Questions, please.
United Nations schools were bombed, and the United Nations was trying to do some fact-finding to discover why it all happened. What was the outcome of the US Nations action?
I don't know the details about that, but I know that the Israelis... I mean, governments lie. All governments lie. But it's Olympic when it comes to the Israelis. I mean, in the case of Iman al-Hams, the officer who murdered her went up and fired bullets into her body. His defence in court was, in the investigation, his defence was that he'd been fired at by Palestinian militants from 300 yards away, and he'd fired his gun into the ground to scare them off. So where he was murdering the girl, he said he was firing into the ground. The Israelis have stalled with the case of Rachel Corrie. The families who've wanted justice. Tom Herndahl, by the way, Tony Blair, as far as I know, refused to meet the Herndahl family in their struggle for justice. They just lie. I mean, how many Palestinians have been killed during these intifadas? Many thousands. How many soldiers have even been questioned about it? None at all. It's a culture of lying, because there's been some academic work, you know, on how the Zionist program goes ahead. Their program is ethnic cleansing, but for the whole world, it's democracy. Now, they have a certain kind of language among themselves, because they know what they're doing. They're getting rid of Palestinians and they want an Arab-free zone. But to the outside world, there has to be a different discourse. And that two-facedness of any government is magnified to a huge degree with Israel because of the nature of the project.
You want to say something?
Actually, the Palestinian problem all the world blame what happened. Everybody knows, everybody knows the TV, Italy, America, and England, also responsible to Europe and everywhere are Muslim against the Palestinians. Because if you, the old people making the justice, Allah lost the justice, God lost the justice, we human beings living the peace, we can't live it. In the big house and drinking the water every day, and my children is happy. It's not life without Palestinian the life happen every day in Israel. But human being all the world, Muslim and non-Muslim, making the justice peaceful, fairest in Palestine, please.
Thank you very much. Any more questions, please?
Just simply that it hasn't been so far mentioned, but as far as I understand it, I wasn't actually in the country at the time of demonstrations outside the Israeli embassy. But from what I've read and what I've heard and what I've seen, it was an unprecedented, those demonstrations were unprecedented in their size in terms of Palestinian solidarity in this country. And what the British state is afraid of, because it doesn't want to be fully exposed as the friend of Israel, which it is fully and always has been, irrespective of Labour or New Labour, call it what you will, Lib Dem, Tory Lib Dem, whatever colour or hue, political colour of government we have in this country, it will still always support Israel fundamentally and is terrified of a politicised, organised Palestine solidarity movement growing. And that is why it is acting in the way it is to deter individuals, isolate individuals, and prevent a solidarity movement growing in the size in the future.
Thank you. Any more questions? Two.
I have been on a lot of demonstrations over the years. Demonstrations, and I didn't think that the way that the demonstrations behaved was any different from other demonstrations that I've been on. But the response is very different, and I just wondered why you think that is. Is it a sign that actually they are more worried about what's happening and the resistance that there is? I'd just like to hear what people think.
I think people have answered the question in a way. I think there is aspects of Islamophobia going on, and there is a fear of young people, and particularly Muslim young people. Like somebody said, it was an unprecedented large number of people, and it was the first time ever that such a large number of people had come out to protest about Palestine. And there is actually a video on I found it when I was trying to research for these, about policing of the pro-Palestinian demonstrations which were taking place at the time. And there were some pro-Israeli demonstrations taking place. And the guy split the screen into half. And he's doing both. So you're just looking at generally the demonstrations, but also actually the policing of the offence. And they're like black and white. They're just completely different. The police are helping them out and this, that, and the other, whereas you've got the police charging them and stuff. So yes, there's lots of things going on around the stuff, but in particular, I think it is in relation to Israel, and because it is against that. And Mick mentioned it before. They're from, was it wrong? I always forget his name. It's horrible. I never want to remember it. From Prosser, the guy that came to your St Andrews University last week.
John Cross or the ambassador?
I can't get myself to remember his name. He's so horrible.
Pross or the tosser.
And there is this change since in they might not be in the government, but there's a change in society. We had the deputy Israeli ambassador come to Manchester University recently, and everywhere they go, they're harassed, and people are getting louder and louder about this. And actually, after the visit to Manchester University, there was an article, I think it was in the Haaretz, that they're actually reconsidering sending these Israeli officials around university campuses because it's not working. Their PR is not working. They're just getting harassed. It actually is backfiring on them. So I think it is a fear to try and keep protesters in line. And incidentally, we got quite bad media coverage in the Israeli media, surprisingly. We got called extremists and things. And now the government are putting into place the Prevent program at Manchester University after the Deputy Israeli Ambassador's been. So I think there's a general kind of attempt to perhaps...
Mary wants to ask a question to the audience, so...
I just wondered if, bearing in mind after hearing folks speak and having a discussion, whether people had any clear ideas of what you all feel you might be able to do in Sheffield. I'm not kind of seeking to pin people down, but just kind of generate a little bit of a discussion for the last 10 minutes, if it's all right with the other two speakers.
Last just to get 6 minutes, yeah.
Yeah, 6 minutes. I just wondered if it might be nice if people had a couple of ideas of things that you feel you could do in solidarity with the struggle that everyone's talked about today. Yeah, what do people think?
The first step will be, you are the spearheads of this campaign, and I think the first step is for people to sign up for your mailing list. And then what we can take from this meeting is that whatever you keep us posted with what you propose for us to do in support, and we will respond to that accordingly. Obviously, if people want to come with ideas, they will contact you and propose these ideas. But yeah, definitely people, for instance, you mentioned the barbecue, people can have small dinners or suppers or morning coffee mornings in their houses to support the campaign initially. But definitely, the spearheads of the campaign need to guide the rest, in terms of, so now you have the addresses. So I think it will work this way. Yeah. I think there was a question here then.
Yeah, I'm just responding to.
Yeah, okay. There, then Anthony. Sorry, you?
I was just going to say I've got a bit lost here. Which campaign are you talking about? Is this a campaign in support of the Palestinians, or is it to do with the people who were arrested?
Yes, the people, of course, and to do with the Palestinians, we know what to do. We have the Palestine campaign, and we are organizing things. But the question was about the campaign they have in this to support these people who have been detained, and to clear their names if they come out and they are still...
It's a criminal justice matter, really. I mean, it's for them and their lawyers. I don't know that there's anything anybody else can do about it.
Well, I think... There are things like Yasmin went... They did a talk... Yasmin and Mick did a talk in New York last night, and some of the people there have offered to organise a fundraiser, because basically, like, a lot of the families... Some of the young people who've been sent down, a lot of the young people who've been sent down, like Martin Askew as well, are the breadwinners of the family. So a lot of the families have got no money, can't afford to travel to see their sons and their daughters and so on. So there is a need to raise money for families who have been affected by this. Just one example.
Not only that, we are here because we don't believe they are criminals. Mm. So I don't think it's a criminal justice matter.
Sorry, I didn't realise that's what the meeting was about. So yeah.
Yeah,
leave me out of it, you carry on.
Yeah, thank you.
I spoke last week to a guy called Paddy Hill. Paddy Hill was in prison for 16 years for a crime that he did not commit. He was one of the Birmingham Six. When he was released, the British government finally gave him £500,000. By the way, they initially, no, they said they were going to deduct £100,000 for board and lodgings for 16 years. I'm not making it up. This is true. Paddy is a man of huge integrity, and he said to them, Paddy doesn't speak the way I do. He said, you can effing stick your money. Right? You can effing stick your money, and he specified anatomically where they could put it. But some of the Birmingham Six were frail and old, and Paddy swallowed his bile and accepted the money because they needed it to live out their final years. In some sort of what I'm trying to say here is, I think I would argue two things.
see the film In the Name of the Father about the Guildford Four. Daniel Day-Lewis, great film. The judges are the last to know that people are innocent. Every dog in the street knows the Guildford Four are innocent, and the learned judges dismiss the appeal. That's the reality. And Paddy will tell you, he would still be inside, possibly. No, he wouldn't still be inside, but he would be in for a lot longer if there had not been meetings like this. Meetings like this took place up and down the country year after year. Every time the judges rejected the appeal, there were bigger meetings and more. They weren't huge, but they were determined, and they knew Paddy was innocent, and they kept. So look, it's the biggest mistake you can make to leave it to the lawyers. We had to train our lawyers from the very first day. We had to train them. They didn't have a bloody clue. They didn't know which way was up. They were playing a very tight legal bat, and we said, it's Israel that's the problem, not us. This is a political campaign with a legal dimension to it. And I think that's really, really critical. So I would urge you to take these people to your hearts and to do something collectively.
I apologise.
I don't want to sound polemical. I do apologise.
No need for apologising.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's really important to be, how can I say, I don't want to use the wrong word. No, it's important to be aggressive. It's important to be aggressive. These men have been sent down by a piece of low life with a wig on, who sent them down for 18 months or 2 years, and we should go after him. Because it's not enough to get these guys out of prison. We're going to do that. But what's he going to do to the next tranche of people who come? If he can do this to them, he can do this to anybody. So it has to be Dennis must go. It has to be Dennis must go, and we must get the convictions overturned, however long it takes. As soon as we were charged, we demanded that the Procurator Fiscal be fired. We turned up outside the court. In fact, we nearly got us. See, when he dropped the charges, we nearly had a weird situation. We demand to be tried. You know, we demand not to be acquitted because we wanted to be in court with Leila Khaled, Moshe Machaver, and a string of high-profile witnesses, because this was about Israeli crime. It wasn't about us. We were just a sort of vehicle for that. So I would say the collective thing here is really critical. And if you can design posters, and do you mind if I disagree with you slightly? I would say, don't leave it to these guys, because there's only two of them. It's a country of 50 million. And if you wait for them to direct you, it's never going to happen. I think we need to decentralise the whole thing. And somebody here needs to be a local spearhead, or two or three people need to be a local spearhead. If you can design a poster, design it and get it up and send them a copy. If you can raise money and send it to them. If you can, whatever you can do. I mean, endless creativity is what we need from people, and not waiting for orders.
Thank you very much. I'm afraid that's all the time we have. And before I close the meeting, I just would like to emphasize the point that Mick mentioned, that there is hope, despite all the, you know, all the odds that are against us. There is hope. We can feel it slowly but gradually. Maybe some of us will get frustrated with the level of powers that are against us, but there is gradual. And our struggle is a long-term one, a long-term one. And to be honest, I'm so pleased that we had this meeting, and I would like to thank Yasmin and Mary for their commitment and hard work. And I would like also to thank Mick for his very, very good speech, which reminded us of the horrors of the suffering of the Palestinian people, the story of Emmanuel Hamz. Many of you listened to the fantastic song that was sung by Alvi and his father, and that was about Iman, if you remember it. He came to our activities, to Reem Kilani event, and the event we organized when the Al Asriya group couldn't come and join us. Alvin, his father, I couldn't remember his name, sorry. They sang Iman, and it's Iman's story that Mick mentioned. He talked about other stories, hundreds of stories. We cannot just continue. It's not time for sympathy, it's time for work. It's time for work. We are sympathizing, but we need to work and continue to work. Thank you very much, and hope to see you on Saturday, or some of you at least Saturday, 11 o'clock. Thanks a lot, and please join me in thanking Justin and Maria. Thank you very much.